And welcome back again to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph, Jay, Erdo, Trisha, Eric, the great, Kathleen, the lovely. What did I used to call her?
The beautiful. Kathleen, the beautiful.
The beautiful. No, the beautiful. What did I call her, Eric?
I don't remember.
You called her the kitty cat rodeo.
No, I don't think so.
You called her Kathleen the Beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, maybe I did. Eric the Great and Kathleen the Beautiful. Okay.
And the lovely Kathleen, they're saying on Periscope. The lovely Kathleen.
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, that was it. The lovely Kathleen.
Yeah, see? Periscope helped us.
I think you're right.
Our fans.
That's funny.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
But just don't look at a picture of Pam Johnson Bennett.
I know.
She's got the most gorgeous eyes.
Well, let me check this out.
That picture of her with the cat is just absolutely lovely.
And you know what? Cats have just beautiful eyes. So if her eyes are beautiful next to a cat's, then they just must be out of this world.
Yes. Oh, lovely.
Well, of course, Pam Johnson Bennett. You can actually see her eyes in person next weekend in Tucson, I believe.
Yeah.
Pam Johnson Bennett, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the compliment about my eyes. That's not something I hear very often.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Well, this picture of you snuggling with the cat, and your eyes are just popping beautifully.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, Pam Johnson Bennett, tell us a little bit about the Cat Behavior Associates. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, I have a company where we do house calls and Skype calls to work with owners who have cats with behavior problems. It's based on veterinarian referrals, so you first have to go to your veterinarian. And I've been doing this for, I think, maybe 32, 33 years now, long before it was a trendy, popular profession. But even so, even after all these years, there are so many people who still don't realize cats can be trained.
Really? They can be trained.
They train them for film.
Oh, that's true.
They train them for film. Also, they're very easy to train. It's that people get cats and they assume they either are pre-trained so that, you know, because they use the litter box and that's what we like about them. So they don't invest any time in actually training the cat, or they use the wrong kind of methods. You know, they assume that a cat is being spiteful or stupid, you know, if he jumps up on the counter or if he doesn't use the litter box. So a lot of times people use punishment and incorrect methods to train. But they're really smart. You don't get to be such an incredible, efficient hunter and not have a really good brain in there.
Oh, wow. And, of course, I have a cat at home. Well, I have two, actually. Your Next is one of their names.
Well, I used to have a cat, actually, that was born a feral cat.
Wow.
But I brought him in, and he was a home cat, and he would play dead. Wow. I could put him around my neck, and I'd say, fur coat, and he would, like, play dead like he was a fur coat around my neck.
Well, see, and then I've got Midnight. My mom's cat is Midnight, and he was the same way. He was outside. He lived outside, and then one day he came to the door, and I think, like, we used to, like, try to chase him away from the house, and one day we just kind of, like, brought him inside, and now he's, like, we call him, like, a dog cat because he's so just there all the time and just the most loving creature. Is that common for feral cats to come indoors and just be like the best pet ever?
It may not have been a truly feral cat. It may have been a stray cat. So that means that cat did have exposure to humans and there was some socialization. With a feral cat, it's a cat that has had no human contact.
Okay.
They are harder to rehab and socialize. But you can do it. I had two feral cats who were truly feral, and they ended up being great cats. A lot of it is how you do it, the patience that you use, and giving the cat the choice and not pushing the cat too much so that he or she doesn't become very defensive.
Excellent.
Well, and in all fairness, my cat's mother was a feral cat. Mm. Because she gave birth to them out in the field behind the house. But then we had two of the kittens we brought in as kittens.
And that makes a big difference when you can work with a kitten, you know, frequent gentle handling, socialization, exposure to humans makes a big difference in how that cat as an adult will handle things like, you know, company coming to the house or traveling in a car or being put in a carrier. The earlier you start with all that exposure in a very gentle, positive way, it'll have a huge payoff later on.
Well, my other cat, Your Next, she was born outside as well, and she was actually the granddaughter of Midnight, and at least for as far as I, you know, you don't know what goes on outside, but and then, you know, I'm not going to say it on the air, but you never have two kittens that do not have a mother alone together, correct? That's bad, because her brother died.
Oh.
Right, and I so
she kill it.
Yeah, she killed her brother very, very tragically, and just it was very upsetting. If you have kittens without a mother, please separate them. But Pam Johnson Bennett, I want to remind our listeners, you are a cat expert. Anyone, if you have a question, give us a call, 602-252-1480 here on Breakthrough Entertainment, or you can join us on Periscope. If anyone on Periscope has a cat question, just join us at Breakthrough Entertainment. Tell us a little bit about Catwise.
Well, that is my latest book, and what I decided to do with this one, since I've written many books that really take you through all the aspects of cat care, from kittenhood right up to geriatrics. In this day and age where people go to Dr. Google and they want to just get on the internet and get a quick answer, and a lot of the answers are wrong, I wanted to put out a book that had the correct, accurate answers in a way that you could just go to the section you needed and find the answer.
Excellent. Excellent. And I believe you're going to be here in Arizona next weekend, correct?
I'm going to be in Tucson at the Tucson Festival of Books. I'll be on two panels. I'm so excited. I have not been to the festival yet, so this is my first time. And then we'll also be going on a book tour, and people can find information on our website about that. I'm hitting a lot of the cat cafes.
Oh.
And so it's a first of its kind cat cafe book tour.
I don't. Tricia, do we have any cat cafes here in Phoenix? Do you know any?
No. But
like, I always, if people have, you know, they're like dog cafes, dog friendly cafes and stuff like that. But I don't. I think we need one. Yes,
you need
we do.
One.
We do. Because I'm a cat person. And well, I'm actually a duck person as well. I have a duck at home, and the duck, the cat is friendly to the duck, but the duck is not friendly to the cat. Let's just say that.
Well, maybe you need a duck behavior expert then.
perhaps. And
but I want to tell you, Pam, I have learned so much. I think, like you said, we kind of make the assumption, because, you know, you don't normally take your cats out for walks like you do a dog. I mean, you give them food and water, but cats tend to be more independent as far as their exercise. They're, you know, they free roam or whatever, or if you have them in the house. And so I think it's, number one, people don't think they can be trained, but also, number two, there's so much stuff that we don't understand. And just looking at this, I've learned so much. Like, why do cats chew on plastic bags, and why you don't want to go up and rub your cat's belly like you would a dog.
Right. We make those assumptions that because, you know, they've got four legs and they're furry and they have a tail, that the animals are interchangeable, and they're not. Cats are very specific. Cats are good at being cats, and dogs are good at being dogs. But again, if you socialize the cat and take the time to train correctly. For example, we bring a cat indoors, and that's where I feel they should be safest, but we don't do any training and help them get used to riding in a car or going in the carrier. And then it's time to go to the veterinarian, and all of a sudden, you know, we have this fur-covered razor blade we're trying to, you know, corral into a carrier. Whereas if you did the training early and help the cat make that association that it's a positive experience and riding in the car is not, you know, a death sentence, then it's so much easier. But we don't do it. We don't think until after we have to deal with this, oh my gosh, how am I going to get my cat to do this? So my goal is to get people to start early, do the training. It's a relationship. You will get from the cat what you give.
Now, we've got a question on Periscope. Someone asked, they said that their cat is like gnawing on pretty much everything in the house. They're biting on cardboard boxes, and then they said there was a piece of plastic, and they were gnawing on that. And of course, they're like always chewing on like the electrical wires and whatnot. They ruined a couple of iPhone cords and whatnot. Any advice there?
And that's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. So without knowing the age of the cat, now if it's a young cat, cats, you know, can be teething and they can be chewing on things just out of play for something to do. But if it's an older cat, there may be a problem. The cat may be trying to do some pain relief. So okay. I would first take the cat to the veterinarian and make sure there isn't any kind of, you know, tooth problem or trouble eating or anything. Also, coat electrical wires with a bitter anti-chew cream, which you can get at your pet supply store. Okay. And any dangling wires that you cannot coat, you want to put either cord covers or PVC pipe, you can do, and just get rid of the temptation. The other thing is, if a cat is looking to chew because he wants something to do and he's bored, then your obligation is to create more playtime. Hmm. And that comes in the form of interactive playtime, meaning playing with him with a, like a fishing pole toy, but also leaving him things to do when you're not there. I'm a big fan of using food dispensing toys, puzzle feeders, things so that the cat, who is an animal who's used to working for food because they're hunters, so you set out puzzle feeders so he plays, he does an activity to get the food, and he gets a reward.
Mm.
So that's the basic of training to me, is if your cat is doing something that you don't want him to do, there's a reason why he's doing it. It may not make sense to you, but it makes sense to the cat. So what can you give him to do that will satisfy that same need but will be acceptable to you?
Excellent. And if anyone is just now joining us, Pam Johnson Bennett with Cat Behavior Associates, author of CatWise. You can ask a question, give us a call, 602-252-1480, or join us on Periscope at Breakthrough Entertainment. I've got a question about my cat, but before I share one, my question, Tricia, did you have something to say?
Well, I just wanted to say that you're just amazing, and what a great service you have in the books and how you've written them. I wish that you'd been around when I had my cat 45 years ago. Because because I've learned so much just looking at this, and I just want to say, you know, starting from scratch, Cat Versus Cat, Think Like a Cat, and then of course your latest one, I believe, is Cat Wise.
Right.
And I just, it says on here that your books are referred to as the Cat Bibles by behavior experts, mm-hmm. veterinarians, and cat parents worldwide. And boy, do I believe it. Just reading some of the articles that you have on here is absolutely amazing, like how the cat shows affection and you know, everything. It's just absolutely amazing. How to find out if your cat is stressed out. You have a podcast, right, that you also have available.
I've done some articles as podcasts just so that people have the convenience of being able to listen to them instead of reading them. I just want to get the information out there because cats are surrendered to shelters for behavior problems more than any other reason. And I do a lot of the evaluations in the shelters when the cats come in, and the problems are things that could have been worked out. It's that cat parents just aren't aware of it. So that is so valuable to me to get that information out, because nobody adopts or buys or rescues a cat hoping that they're going to have a behavior problem. And so I want them to have the tools so that they can have the relationship they've always wanted.
Now, Pam, my cat, did you have a
follow-up? Well, I was just going to say, you know, at SeaWorld in San Diego, they have a pet's rule show that they do that is all rescued cats, dogs. They even have a kangaroo that was rescued. Wow. I mean, they have all these different animals, but the majority of them are cats and or dogs. And it's amazing some of the behaviors that they're able to train these cats to do. And that's the whole purpose behind that show, is when they introduce everybody and they talk about how, you know, this dog was, you know, surrendered to a shelter because he was untrainable, and look at all the stuff he just did, and this cat, you know, whatever. And it's just amazed me at how they were able to have, I think there's over 100 animals that would be domestic animals in that show, and that's their big message at the end of it, is that, you know, if you take time and you go by the pet's rules of how to train and show them love, that they will return it 100-fold. Is that your experience as well?
So true. So true. You give the animal choice, you go at his pace, and you find what what motivates him. You know, like for a dog, maybe it's food, maybe it's a particular treat, but maybe it's praise or playtime or petting. Same thing with cats. You find what their currency is, what is going to motivate them, and that's what you use.
Their love language.
It's a dehydrated chicken or a little soft treat, or maybe it is time with you or playtime, because everyone's an individual. And once you find that, it's gold. It's like you've found the communication between the two of you.
Now, my cat, You're Next, she's had this problem for the last maybe year or two, where she chases her tail, and not in a funny way. I'm like, she attacks her backside, like the hair stands up near her, you know, and twitches near her tail, right above her tail, and like she attacks herself and, you know, tries to bite herself. I did the whole Dr. Google thing, and I looked into that. Any insight into that?
Well, you want to make sure you take her to the veterinarian, because there could be a pain issue. There could be something going on where she is actually in pain and trying to get to it. It could be a compulsive behavior, which some cats develop if they're very stressed or bored, and they almost view their tail as an enemy.
Is that like feline hyperthesia? That's what I found.
Yes, feline hyperthesia. It could be where that's actually a pain-related thing, where the nerve endings and there is a pain. So that's why you do want to get your cat to the veterinarian, because if she is suffering and is in pain, then that can be relieved. But you have to get an accurate diagnosis. But it's not play if there is piloerection, if the hair is standing up, or the tail is a bottle brush tail, or she seems stressed and is actually trying to attack it. Then that is either something cognitive going on, or it's something physical, and that needs to be addressed.
Okay. And again, we'll wrap up this segment in just a couple minutes, but again, 602-252-1480, or join us on Periscope at Breakthrough Entertainment if you have any cat-related questions for Pam Johnson Bennett with Cat Behavior Associates, CatWise. She's going to be out there in Tucson. I understand that you also have something on Amazon, right? Is there a show?
Yes, I did. On Animal Planet UK and also in Canada, I had a show called Psycho Kitty, and it's now available on Amazon Prime. And it's just going to people's houses and trying to work on behavior problems. And we tried to do it in a way that was very real, you know, like that, so that you could sit there and look at it and go, oh, I have that problem with my cat, or my neighbor does. So we picked a lot of problems that were very typical, so a lot of people could relate to it.
Excellent. Well, once again, tell us a little bit about Cat Behavior Associates, or how people can get in touch with you if they weren't able to get their question in today.
You can go to my website, catbehaviorassociates.com. I know it's a ridiculously long title, but I have so many articles on there. I tried to make the information available so that you didn't have to spend the money on a book if you didn't need it. So search through the articles. You'll find it. I have my books there. You can also visit me on Facebook. Pam.JohnsonBennett is the name, and I can answer your question on Facebook. But I love to connect with people. I love to see that light bulb go on when people understand, oh, that's why the cat does this, because then that just opens up the door to better communication between cat and cat parent.
Excellent.
And it looks like if they Google CatWise, the ad for your book comes up on the right hand side as well.
I Googled cat expert, and she was like, I think the first.
Yeah, because she
result.
She wrote the Bible.
I've been around forever. You know, that's I'm old, but the benefit of that is, you know, I have a lot of experience.
Now, okay, one more quick question. I'm sorry, but for those cat toys they're puzzle toys to get the food, how can we where are those, or what are some good ones?
Okay, if you Google puzzle feeders for cats, a lot of companies now make all different kinds, and you can find one based on the type of food you feed. They're most commonly used with dry food, and you can even make one with just a cardboard insert from toilet paper or paper towels, and you cut holes in it and then fold the ends down. But you can do things with wet food too. Even something as simple as a muffin tin, where you've put a little drop of of wet food in each tin forces the cat to have to move and hunt and find it. And that's a good way, a basic way, to start a cat on puzzle feeding. If you have a cat who eats too fast, putting them in the muffin tins, the little bits of food, encourages them to eat more slowly.
Perfect.
So there's so many things that you can do, and there are a lot of companies now that make them. And if you go to our website, I have articles about why puzzle feeders are very beneficial to cats.
Well, excellent. Pam Johnson Bennett, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment's Cat Show. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, and let's go ahead and roll that music. What's up, pussycat?
What's new?
Oh,
pussycat.
I was going by Dave's.
That's the way
lyrics.
To do it.
What's new, pussycat?
Keep going.
You and your pussycat nose. You and your pussycat eyes.
All right, this is 1480 AM.
You and your pussycat lips.
Breakthrough Entertainment. We'll be right back after these words.
I love your pussycat nose.
Pussycat, pussycat, I love.